Welcome to the 207 Collective. I'm Justin. And today with me, I have a pretty cool guest. Somebody who owns a pretty cool little watering hole that people like to enjoy, especially on their motorcycles. Greg Martinez, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. I feel kind of honored to be here.
No, I appreciate you coming in. And yeah, you were the first person to say I'm flattered when I asked you to.
Yeah, well, you know. It's nice to know somebody's interested in, you know, where I've been. You know, I just do my thing and live my life and work hard and hope for good things.
Well, I enjoy your place and what you do for the community and everything, so I figured you'd be a good person to have on.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, I mean, the community has done a lot for me, and I'm grateful more so for them. You know, since I got into, I've been in the restaurant bar business for about 30 years now. But when I went down and worked for Bentley down on Route 1, that was back in 2007. You know, that was kind of a new thing, a new territory, you know, kind of catering to people that ride motorcycles. I had a motorcycle, and I definitely rode and had a lot of fun with it. But, you know, getting into that environment, going down to Daytona, and the people were just fantastic, all walks of life. Everybody having a good time, just looking to make friends, see and be seen. It's a pretty cool scene, and I really got drawn into it. And I, you know, even before I got that phone call from Bentley, I got my first bike. I think it was 89. Yeah, 89 Sportster. I had just gotten out of the state police in New Hampshire. Yeah, I was a trooper there for a short time, for about 4 years in the fine state of New Hampshire. Worked with some really quality people, had a great time doing it, but it wasn't for me. You know, I kind of had that self-employment bug. And I guess 89, and then in 2000, I made my first trek to Daytona, and I just fell in love with the whole environment. You know, I was already in the restaurant bar business, but it was just... It's fun. It's fun if you even, it has nothing to do with the motorcycle. It has to do with the lifestyle. And granted, yeah, riding is wonderful. You know, it's a good place where you can find your freedom. But first thing I did, you know, when I was in Bentley's, I was at Bentley's managing for him from 2007 to 2010. And so many people came in, enjoyed the atmosphere. But outside the saloon, I would hear people saying, oh, we don't have a motorcycle. You know, we can't go there. We don't have a bike.
I remember
yeah.
when that place first opened up, I remember people talking about, that's a biker bar. We're not
yeah.
going there.
Yeah, and my position there was ridiculous. So then when I found a place to lease up there in Acton, my first order of business was putting a sign on the front door, on the front of the building, says, we don't care how you get here, just be here. And the message was, I don't give a shit if you come on horseback, just come.
Right.
You know, once you get here, and then you're going to be hanging out with people, and they're going to jump on their motorcycle, they're going to ride away, and that's going to probably compel you to say, I want a bike too. You know? So, yeah, motorcycles are a part of it, but you can be part of the lifestyle, the camaraderie, and all the fun, and not own a bike. I'm fortunate up there. I get great support from my community. The Acton-Shapley area is just full of great people, and I'm blessed. I really feel like I'm the luckiest man alive. Took me a while to, I don't want to say win their trust. I don't think they distrusted me, but they didn't know what to expect. And the trick for me, I struggled for a long time, and the trick for me was to get the naysayers in the door. How do I do that?
Right.
You know, get them in to come and see, and then once they come in, they're going to be looking around and say, I know that dude. Oh, I know her. Oh, those are my neighbors. Oh, shit. I fit right in here. These are my people too, you know? And it kind of grew from there.
I mean, the town of Acton was, you know, besides what, Willie's?
Yeah,
and, I mean, and you have the Trading Post, and I mean, what else is there really?
Not much.
You know, there's not a whole lot there.
No.
And then for a week out of the year, you got the fairgrounds.
Yes. Yeah.
Actually, I take that back because you do have the what do they call them when they do the like the LARPing and all the
LARPing. I don't even know that word.
Oh yeah, when they dress like wizards and all.
The Renaissance Fair. Yeah,
that seems
super successful.
That is wild. We were driving by one day,
yeah,
and I'm like, what the hell's going on? And the traffic and the lines of people, and then
I thought it was great. You know, some of the people got a little hung up on the traffic, which I understand. You know, it's typical in a community that sees immediate growth like that. People might get a little frustrated and. You know, of course, you get some naysayers, but at the end of the day, there was a whole bunch of people that came into the community for those two weekends that have never been there, and you know, I don't think it's a bad thing that Acton gets discovered. When I moved to Wells, there was not much going on in Wells. I was 10 years old, and look at it now. Now they're trying to put the reins on and slow growth down.
Right.
You know, obviously COVID pushed people out to Wells, and now it's pushing people to Acton, and everybody knows what a house costs today. That's a whole other challenge trying to afford life these days.
Yeah, so your building, my grandmother worked there packaging apples.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Way back.
I get a lot of customers that come in, you know, I used to work here when I was a kid, and there's a lot of history on the property for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And then I believe the main part of that building that's there was built for, was it a Yamaha dealership?
Yeah. Yeah, that was the previous owner before me. He bought it, I think, in 2000 or late 90s, early 2000s. And it went, there was a lot of business that went through there from that point when I went in.
Yeah, there was a grocery store there. There was
dollar store, Yamaha, a barbecue, a NASCAR bar.
Big Daddy's. Yeah.
Yes, Big Daddy's. I still have some of the NASCAR body parts hanging out in the bays out back there. If any of your NASCAR fans, give me a shout if you have any interest. It's not, you know, NASCAR is not my bag, but, you know, a lot of people are going to listen to this
and hit you up.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. But, yeah, it's got a lot, the property's got a lot of history. It's a nice piece, and I kind of fell into it. I was looking at, I had no intention of ever having a building of that size, you know, to operate, you know, to do what I wanted to do. I was figuring a little shotgun shack with a massive outdoor.
Right.
Like I have now, because people that ride in the summer, they want to be outside. They want music outside. They even want to eat outside. You know, my only struggle right now is keeping people cool, because I got a lot of open space out there, and I got to
It gets pretty warm.
Yeah, it gets toasty. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's wild now. When, you know, I remember when you first moved in there, and then, you know, you drive by now and you see that big fence, and it's, you know, it's like a compound out back there now.
I'm pretty excited. You know, I get, you know, truth be told, my first adventure down in Daytona, I went to a place called the Iron Horse Saloon. I don't know if you've been there.
Nope, I've never been to Daytona.
I walked in there and I rode in there. Actually, you could ride your motorcycle right in there and get off my bike, and I'm looking around, and there's like 3,000 people, and the place is like half the size of my backyard. There had to be 3,000 people there, and everybody was drinking a Budweiser, and I'm like, damn, I think I can do this. And that was way back, like I said, I think 2000 or 2001, and that was kind of what got my, you know, got the juices flowing for me with, you know, that kind of goal in mind. Took me a long time.
So What pulled you away from Bentley's? Was it just the urge to be on your own and to start your own thing? Was there...
Well, you know, I've always been self-employed. You know, I grew up with my father, and obviously, you know, my dad was always there telling me how to scratch my ass, you know what I mean? You know, he had to do everything himself, you know?
Right.
So I think that had a lot to do with it. I had a lot of my own ideas that were, you know, things that I wanted to try, and I didn't like being told, no, we can't do that, we can't do that. And, you know, I just had some different ideas on how I wanted to run a similar business.
Right.
I had great years down there. Best part of working down there was the staff. I had great people working with me. And of course, the customers. And, we share customers today. Anybody riding, you know, they run the circuit between, you know, Bentley's, my place, and Hogspen over there in Farmington, and there's a couple other stops.
Yeah, I've made that loop many times.
Yeah, yeah, and they're all great places, and they're all the same, but they're different. You know, my trick is, you know, when people pull into my parking lot, I want to keep them. I want them to stay there as long as I want. I want to wine and dine them. I want to show them a good time. You know, and I want it to be affordable too. I struggled. I mean, there was several years I was doing $2 long necks all the time. And it's just, you know, the cost of everything, it's impossible to do.
Yeah. I mean, it's understandable with the inflation, just the way everything's going nowadays. I mean, you can't really expect, like, you'd like, you know, some a company or a business like that to be able to do something like that. And on occasion, you probably can. But, but it's not something that, you know, you can't.
It's just, you know, insurance alone. Sometimes I question myself every day, why do I pay for insurance? Because whenever I need them, they have a reason why I'm not covered for that. But that's a whole other story that's, you know, I know everybody out there is experiencing. But my place a little more, because there's a lot more, you know, activities, you know, that happen that are, you know, there's obviously people's safety is always an issue. You know, you're riding motorcycles, you might be burning rubber, you might be on the burnout bridge during the burnout competition, might be part of the stunt show. You know, there's these, you know, 800,000 pound machines flying around and, you know, in close proximity to people, you know, so. Obviously, you know, the insurance companies, they frown on that. But in the same token, there's all kinds of ways for people to have a good time. And, you know, I see things that people find entertaining and amusing that it's like, that looks kind of stupid, you know. And I'm sure a lot of people look at us, you know, when we're taking a $400 tire and roasting it off a brand new bike, they might think that's stupid. Well, maybe it is, but you know what? It's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun if you. It's about horsepower. This country was built on horsepower, not electric vehicles.
No, I love that shit. Not many people around me or that I associate with don't. So
right,
it's, you know,
exactly. It's our thing.
Yeah, you know? And that whole burnout contest, I remember the first year you did it.
Wow, that was. I think I did it the first, maybe the second year I was open, 2012 maybe.
Yep, and I've been there for all but two of them, I think.
This past year, this last one I had last year, it was pouring rain. I said, oh, I'm going to get killed.
Yeah, I didn't make it this year.
I'm telling you right now, it was the most insane burnout competition I've ever seen. The competitors, you know, they not only went through the rubber, they were tearing up the wheels. I mean, there was three guys that just destroyed their wheels. They came there to win, and boy, I don't know how y'all do that.
It's always awesome when you see someone like trailering their bike for a burnout, because you know it's going to be a good one.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be. Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. So. There's been some serious spectacles over the year. We've had a lot of fun with it, and I hope it continues. As far as I'm concerned, it will continue, you know.
So since we're on the subject of the burnouts,
yeah,
we might as well talk about it.
Sure.
You know, there's every year the post comes out that, you know, respect the neighbors.
Yeah.
You know, leaving the place, that kind of thing. Obviously, it's not something you want to have to deal with, but it's something that you do have to deal with because, like you said, you want to be a nice neighbor.
Yeah, I want. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And you have to respect what's going on.
Absolutely. I do want to be a good neighbor. And, you know, the neighbors are good to me, and I want to be good to them. It's kind of a double-edged sword because I'm all about that kind of stuff. You know, I don't consider myself a motorhead, but I love a burnout. And you know, whether you're in a car, in a truck, on a motorcycle, whatever, you know, it's a show of horsepower. It's showing what you got.
Right.
And it's entertaining. And if you don't find it entertaining, you find it stupid, well, I guess I apologize for all of us that are into it. You know, like I said, there's all kinds of ways to have fun.
Yeah, and you get talked into a lot of stuff, too. I had a 100th anniversary Deuce.
Yeah.
Beautiful bike. And, I mean, I'm not a chrome guy. I'm really not. But somehow I ended up with a bike with the most chrome that I've ever seen.
There was a lot of chrome.
And it was ridiculous. And, you know, I'd watch people, the pad out back, and I'd watch people go on there, and I'm like, I'm never going to do that. And then next thing you know, your buddies are giving you shit. They're giving you a hard time, saying you won't do it. Yeah. And you're like, huh. So I went out back there, and then my bike left on a trailer that night. So... It happens.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
And then the owner, I'm pretty sure the guy that I bought the bike off of, who meticulously, I mean, he would never think of doing something with that bike.
Right.
Watched me do that and, you know, grab all five gears and was just kind of horrified, I think.
Yeah.
But whatever, I paid for it.
Yeah, it's funny how, you know, I see two sides of the coins. Two sides of the coin. You know, you got the bike owners that they spend a lot of time cleaning their bike, and it is a lot of work.
Yes.
And then I've got the guys that they'll clean their bike, but they'll also get it dirty. Yeah. You know, if you're going to go through the trouble of cleaning it, you might as well have something to clean. You know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, my father's got a beautiful Street Glide, and I mean, he will spend hours cleaning that thing.
Yeah.
And me, I'd soap, water, get out the leaf blower,
yeah,
blow it off. And
that
then
sounds familiar.
You know, I was good. And then I had a night train before that. So I went from like one bad to another bad. It was,
yeah,
everything was black. And then I went to everything chrome, which is, it was, I miss riding. I really do. My last bike I had was a Road King. And when we found out we were having my son, my wife, she told me, she's like, it's kind of time to put the bike up for a little while.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, you're right. And, you know, at the time, you know, there's a lot of things going on. And unfortunately, I feel like it's getting a little more dangerous nowadays.
Yeah, I was going to touch on that. Yeah.
And so I just kind of, I'm like, you know, you're right. And eventually, my thing now is I want an Enduro someday.
Yeah.
And then that'll probably be it for. But my brother's got a Harley. My father's got a Harley.
You can borrow it.
If I can borrow mine.
Mine, I've got a 2011. It's got hardly any miles on it because I'm always working when everybody's riding. Right. You know?
I mean, if I have the itch or there's a benefit ride or something that I want to do, then
you have access.
I have access to a bike.
Yeah, it's definitely it's a big investment, and for something that you know you're not going to use on a regular basis. Like, I have the good fortune of spending a month in Florida each winter. I'd like to take my motorcycle down, but then I would have to leave my wife and my daughter, and, you know, it's not fun riding. You know, I don't care what you're doing. It's who you're doing it with.
Right.
You know, riding by yourself, yeah, it's okay once in a while, but it's much better to ride with a group of friends, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Well, I mean, I'd say the investment's a little better than the snowmobile
nowadays. Yeah. 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 I gave up snowmobile, and I'm all done being cold. I don't like cold.
I was going to ask you what you do in the off time.
Well, I get back to that is the upside. There's an upside and a downside to being seasonal. The upside is that I get to go home. I get to enjoy my home and enjoy my family and live a, you know, quote unquote, a normal life. I still have plenty of projects, you know, and I stay busy working. And I also have other things that, you know, other businesses going to make money, or not other businesses, but I have, you know, a family business that I manage and maintain. So that, you know, that all keeps me busy. I don't sit on my butt, but I'm home at night. And I got to be honest with you. You know, I'm not saying I never go out, but over the course of the season when I'm closed, the last place I want to be is in a bar.
Right.
You know, I mean, me and my wife will go out to dinner, take Nora with us or whatever. And, you know, we enjoy going out and eating. But
so has there ever been a thought to making Iron Tails a year-round thing?
I would have done that a long time ago if the building wasn't so massive. And there's no way to shrink it down. The way the utilities come into the building, and I just can't, and where the bathrooms are located, everything is 10 miles from each other, you know? So it's a lot of square feet to heat, including the kitchen. I mean, I could, the kitchen end alone, I could open up a 100-seat restaurant in there alone.
Right.
You know, it's just a massive building, you know? Like, as you said earlier, that was an Apple storage facility that serviced a lot of orchards in the area. So it's a big building, and that's not even including the bays out back. And it was, I never intended to stay there. I was looking at 20 acres up the street, which as of recent, there was somebody that built a new structure up there, a new metal building. I think they do docks and stuff up there on the left. Nice building.
Yep.
Yeah, I was looking at that way back when, and I was thinking, well, once I get on my feet and see how receptive the town is to what I'm doing here, I'll go up there and build up there. But then, you know, there was an unfortunate occurrence with the prior owner, so I ended up, you know, I either had to buy the building or walk away with nothing. So I, you know, called on my dad, he helped me get financed, and the rest is history. Back then it was a tough nut because the building was big. It was in disrepair. I had oil tanks in the ground. And, you know, taking oil tanks out
of the ground. That's right. There was a gas station there.
Yeah. Yeah. Taking the oil tanks out of the ground, that was expensive. Taking the canopy down, that was expensive. And that wasn't really contributing to my business, but right. it was contributing to my survival because the state was on me, and they were gonna fine me $1,000 a day if I didn't get those oil tanks out of the ground. So, you know, what do I do? You know?
Yeah.
So that's what slow growth. It was a long time getting going up there.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And no, it's been, I mean, like you, the people during the summer, the spring, you know, early fall. I mean, it's on a weekend, you drive by that place and it's usually just packed.
Yeah, we're pretty, like I said, I feel like I'm the luckiest man alive. We get great support.
Even when the weather's not great.
Yeah, like, last summer. I never saw
rained
somebody.
It rained every day.
Awful. You know? It was awful. I don't know how I pulled it off, but I had a great year. And I, like I said, I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, it's just it's a cool atmosphere. It's a cool place to hang out. It's
I just want people to come in and have a good time. I want them to. Everywhere you go, there's all kinds of rules and regulations. And mind you, I'm former law enforcement, okay, and I believe in law and order. But I'm not. I like people to come in, relax, be themselves, and do whatever they want to do. As long as they're respectful to everybody there, they're not causing a disturbance or anything, you know, they don't need rules, you know?
Right.
It's a place to come and relax.
No, and it seems like, you know, your security, whoever you got working for you.
I don't do security.
No, because I've seen a couple times. I mean, everything kind of solves itself.
Exactly. Exactly. The customers are respectful enough. And, you know, if I have a problem with somebody, I go up and say, hey, listen, this is your bar. What are you doing?
Right.
This is your place. What do you want to do that here for? And, you know, I got a buddy of mine who helps him out quite a bit. And Big Ron, I don't know if you know Big Ron, but, when you're there this summer, he just, you know, if he sees a hot spot, he goes and hangs out and talks to people and cheers them up and kind of puts a fire out, you know? I don't believe in, you know, when I was back in the day when I was a police officer, I worked with a lot of great people. But there's times when, you know, you put a fire out and then the wrong guy shows up that's on the job and it's, you know, throws a can of gas on a fire you just put out.
Yeah, for sure.
You got an explosion, you know? There's no need of it. You know, like I say, people.
I mean, two times I've been tossed out of bars and I wasn't anywhere close to being the person that initiated anything.
Right.
You know, I just happened to be standing in the wrong place or someone threw a punch and I ducked it. And then next thing you know, my collar is getting grabbed and I'm the one dragged out of there.
Yeah. And, you know, I think since I'm going into my 14th season and I can count in all those years, 4 fights. And when that stuff goes down, depending, you know, There was an incident last year that was really disturbing to me, and those people won't be back.
Yeah,
I can't have it. I don't. You know, and it brings, you know, first thing that comes to my mind every time I get on social media, I'm seeing these kids beat the snot out of each other. People beating on each other. It's like, what the hell is wrong with you people? Why you want to hurt each other? You know, it's crazy. So going back, you know, the environment. It's a friendly environment. If you're not here to make friends and have a good time, beat it.
Yeah,
and everybody's welcome. You know, I get the clubs in there. They're respectful. They're happy that they can come in. You know, they're my friends. I know their wives. I know their kids. I know they got jobs, you know, and you can't judge people. You know, you can't judge people because they're part of a motorcycle club. They're individuals first, but they're individuals that want to be part of something and they choose a club. So that's great.
Right.
You know, but when they're at Iron Tail Saloon, they're just customers at Iron Tail Saloon. And last year I had one club come in. There was probably 60 of them, you know, and they had a great time. You know, was I a little nervous at first? Yeah, I was a little nervous. Like, oh, Jesus, there's a lot of them here. Because the upside is I know a lot of the people.
Right.
You know, they're friends of mine. So I can, you know, it's like, hey, Jesus, what the hell's going on? Oh, just out for a ride. Well, and I said, great, have a good time, blah, you know, and that's it. And no issues,
yep.
No issues. And if there is an issue,
it gets fixed.
It gets fixed.
Yeah, like I said, I've never seen a fight there. I've seen people, you know, going in that direction.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, usually, you know, somebody grabs somebody and they're like, hey, you know, cut it out. You know, we don't want to get thrown out. We don't want to be, you know, just. And then, you said, it dissolves itself usually, and then...
And that occurred to me. It was probably about 5 or 6 years ago during the burnout competition. I'm sure I was in the kitchen, but kind of running back and forth between the show and the kitchen. And I get out there, And there was a little shouting match between these two guys and then like six or eight other people. I've never seen any of these people before in my life. They start yelling at these two guys and there's, hey, we don't want this shit here. We don't do this here. Get out of here. I'm standing right there. Nobody knows who I am.
Right.
And I was like, this is fantastic. This is fantastic. That's the atmosphere I want. We don't want any shit. We want people calming down and having a good time. We want people as happy as if they're going to the ice cream stand, you know?
Yeah.
And no, getting an ice cream. Yeah, we sell beer. It's okay to drink beer. It's okay to get banged up. But after you banged up, be man enough to own it and say, you know what? I think I'm going to call my mother and take that ride she's been talking about since I was 15, you know?
Yeah, I have an aunt. Ever since we were teenagers, she told us, I don't care if you guys are doing it underage or whatever.
Amen.
Call me.
Amen.
That's all you got. Yeah. She's like, I'll help you get home. Just call me.
Yeah.
And we've picked her up on it a couple times and just tested it. And 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, she'll always answer the phone and she'll always get you home. So.
That's perfect. And anybody that doesn't take that stance is crazy.
Yeah.
Because you know what? We're all going to do it. Oh, you know, we're all going to test the weed. We're all gonna have a beer. Whether we're, you know,
well, how many times have you? I know for me a lot.
Yeah.
Majority of the times when you end up having the best time, and end up the most banged up, are on usually times when you weren't planning on doing any of that in the first place.
Oh.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
Last weekend, I got to call myself out. Now, I've been doing really good. I haven't been drinking much. I'm doing the vegetarian thing quite a bit. And so we had an unexpected night off, me and my wife. And one of my older daughters was going to take Nora for the night. I said, well, let's go out to dinner. So we went out and had a nice dinner. Let's go have a drink, you know? Yeah. So we're out. And the night went by and I'm looking, it's midnight, and I can't even see. You know, we're a town down, so we end up being an expensive night. We end up renting a room, staying overnight, and then we wake up the next day. That was the stupidest thing we've done in a long time, you know? I was like, I just don't bounce back like I used to.
No, I mean, I'm in my late 30s, and I...
Oh, real fossil you are.
No, but I mean, as far as the hangover is going, yes, like, Jesus
yeah.
Christ.
Yeah. You lose a day.
Oh, yeah, you're ruined.
Yes. Yeah,
and you have two choices: to suffer it out, or maybe
or
get back
another
into,
drink.
Yeah,
yeah.
Get back into it. Yeah. You know, it's just yeah.
That used to work in college when I was in college. I was working. I went to St. Anselm College over in Manchester, and I was working at the coffee shop, and I'd have to be there 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, I'd be up partying the night before. I'd be to work on time with bells on. I mean, I came right out of it. You know.
Yeah.
Those are good days.
So another great thing that, you know, your establishment and a lot of places like it do is the charity and the fundraising, the helping out with.
Yeah.
I've been on several rides that, you know, I've gone to your place.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a win-win for everybody in an aspect of, like, you're giving a place for people to go. So, I mean, you're benefit from that.
Yeah.
But then you're also giving, you know, you're helping out that for that cause, for them to raise the money, you know, to help out people or whatever the.
I've always made an effort to make it very clear that it's not me doing all this charity work. It's all good people. There's hundreds of people out there doing charity work, and I have the good fortune of owning a venue that is conducive to doing those events.
Right.
And of course, I make a donation. You know, I'm writing checks to different events every weekend. It's not a lot of money, but it's something. You know, I contribute something. But also, I've got a great group within the saloon that facilitates with these folks. Because a lot of these folks, they've never done one before. And, you know, like Bruce, the man on the microphone, he loves to get involved and he'll help him out with the auction. I've got lady by the name of Vicky Langlois.
Oh, Langlois,
Dave and Vicky. Yeah. Well, she helps them facilitate the raffles and all that. And it's just a well-oiled machine now.
Vicky's great.
And there's a lot of people out there that have really kind of fine-tuned the charity events that come through. And this year, we've got a lot of them for a lot of different causes. You know, and that saying, you know, my job really is to kind of, I facilitate those, but I also have to manage them in that I've got customers that are not, that are just riding, and they're coming in for the week, and they're coming in for lunch, and I don't want to overwhelm them with that event.
Right.
The upside is if the sun is shining, everybody's outside having a good time. We kind of keep the event inside. They can, you know, potentially use the stage inside to run auctions or whatever. But I also have to be mindful. I ask them to be mindful. It's like, okay, keep it to a limit because I've got bands. People are here for the music, and I'm not. I pay for these bands to play, and you're on the microphone for an hour and a half. And yeah, that doesn't work.
Right.
You know, that doesn't work for anybody involved. And I have ways of, you know, handling that and managing it. And, you know, that's what I'm supposed to do.
I like crowds and being busy is awesome, but there's also a downside to being a little too busy.
I love being too busy.
Well, I mean, for you, yeah. But yeah. I mean, for, you know, some people I would think would, you know, those type of places, when you're going somewhere and it takes you 10 minutes to get to the bar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a situation. Yeah, it's
or you're waiting, you know, to get your drink and like that kind of thing.
You're singing my song. That is an obsession of mine that I try to tackle every year. You know, and I've got new staff, and then we have the staff meeting. You know, my new mantra now is if there's a line, you're not, you know, we're losing money. If there's a line, we're losing money. People are not getting served. And last year, a few times, I had the good fortune of being able to call one of the girls that lives locally. I need you. And she was always right there. Yeah, Kim, she's fantastic. She lives right on Loon Pond. And she would drop everything and come down. And it's a big deal. It's a big deal getting people served. And, you know, we'll work to improve that.
I mean, you must be dealing with the same kind of thing that a lot of these places are dealing with as far as, you know, finding decent help.
Yes. Yeah, it's always been a challenge for me. A few years ago, as you probably remember, I did away with table service. I just could not get enough people and the right people for the crowd. You know, I've always recognized that the crowd, it's a very transient crowd.
Right.
And when you got somebody on, okay, burger, it's for the guy in the black t-shirt. There's a sea of black t-shirts out there.
Yeah.
You know? So good luck finding them. And so I was at a bar down in Florida visiting my dad, and I wanted to get some food. I had to go to the bartender, order the food. They gave me a pager. And right then and there, you know, it was kind of like the light shined. I was like, oh my God.
Yep.
I could do this. And I dragged my feet for a year because I didn't know how receptive customers would be to it. You know, because I like service too. Dragged, and I struggled another year having service help and all that. So I said, you know what, we're going to go for it and give it a shot. And, you know, I had literally a couple of people that weren't happy about it. But overall, people were great.
We did it last year. I thought it was like, you almost kind of forget that you order food, and then that thing starts shaking, and then you're like, oh,
exactly. You know, because the industry-wide, I mean, whether you're a biker bar, you're a five-star restaurant, you know, if you're sitting at a table and you order your burger, guess what? The whole restaurant, the whole saloon is on a timer. Hey, you know, I've been waiting 30 minutes for my burger. Yeah, you and 600 other people, you know?
Right, yeah.
But it doesn't matter. They're right. Because the customer is generally always right. They're waiting too long, in their opinion. It's about their experience, not ours. It's about their experience.
Right.
So it's a big challenge. And by us doing it the way we do, Justin comes up. He places his order with the cashier. Boom, boom, boom. She's ringing it in. Boom. It's in the kitchen. You're paid. Here's your pager. Okay. Your order's on its way to the kitchen. It's in the kitchen already. And so it's going to get worked on, if not right away, shortly thereafter. And then, oh, is food's done? Hit the pager. It's not, you know, you're not waiting for a server to pick up your food who's got six other tables. So, oh, shit, our food's ready.
Yep.
And off you go.
Yep.
You know?
No, I think it's a great way.
And it really works in our environment.
Yeah. I think it's a great way. And, you know, I grew up with Vandy's and all that. And like that's how they did it forever.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, I think it's great.
I wish I had thought about it sooner, you know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we have the good fortune of serving a lot of food. And, the biggest challenge is, you know, that's one of the challenges of being seasonal. I have great people, but, you know, I lose them too. I lose great people because, let's face it, life is expensive. Right. You know, they've got to eat and pay bills in the winter, too.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, unemployment's only going to take you so far. I don't know. I've got all kinds of crazy ideas. I just got to, you know, always looking for, you know, a second location. I don't even know why. I don't even know how I would do that, but it's been done before. People do it.
Right.
You know? But it can't be seasonal. You know, it can't be seasonal because I need to be able to provide for my core employees.
Yeah. And kind of like we were talking about before we started recording was, like you said, owning a place like you own, having something new for, you know, the people to come to every year and see that there's improvement, see that something changed.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be a little bit daunting for you.
Because
you only have, you know, you have so much space.
Yeah.
You know, you can't dump a ton of money into a certain thing.
Well, yeah. Right. I do.
Like that stage and all, like that was awesome. You drive by, you see that huge stage out back there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've got all kinds of ideas and plans, but I got to go easy, you know, because I also have to carry the business for 6 months with zero income. I have to do it all in 6 months. So, you know, I have to be careful. But, you know, opening up, you know, I've got a line of credit and I get into that and I pay it off over the course of the summer. You know, I can make a lot more money doing something else. But if I ever got out of that business, ever left, I would be miserable the very next day and kicking myself in the ass. You know, I do it because I love people and I just love the challenge of, you know, I want to be number one. I just, you know, it's just me though, because everybody else is, you know, they're not seasonal like me. You know?
Right. Yeah.
Their life goes year round.
Yeah. Know? Well, I mean, I think people are kind of used to it. Around it. I mean, Bentley's a seasonal, you're a seasonal.
Yeah.
You know, so like what you do. And
I think if I was on Route 1 in Arundel, and Bentley's has got a cool setup because they got the front bar, they can isolate that, you know, but then again, you know, you're limited to how many seats you can have in there.
Right.
So does it make sense when you can only get, let's say, 30 or 40 people in there? He'd probably have 120, you know, and then that just opens up a whole bunch of other problems, you know, with fire code and whatever. But if I had a smaller building, I would definitely stay open, you know, for my key employees, if not for anything else. Food is very important to me. I take a lot of pride in the food that we do there, you know, and I use fresh product, and it's super important to me. And I would love to do more, but, you know, I got to draw the line somewhere.
It was funny when my wife asked me earlier who was coming over, and I was like, Greg, the owner of Iron Tail. She's like, oh, the chicken tenders.
Why did I know you were going
to say? Yeah.
I use fresh tenders. It's all about clean oil, cook time, and fresh tenders. It's so simple. I don't know. But people love our tenders. We got the right
There's a special
right
sauce you have, too. You have like a spicy, I can't remember what it is. There's a certain sauce that you guys have
I got a few. That she likes?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, make sure I know so we don't take it off the menu or anything. You know, I won't have it for her. But, yeah, we sell a lot of chicken tenders. You know, from Thursday, we sell a lot, like 260 pounds from Thursday through Sunday.
Yeah.
260 pounds of chicken.
Is that on
tenders.
A regular weekend without an event, or is that just...
Yeah, that's just a busy weekend,
yeah.
You know? And like I said, did I ever think I would be here? Hell no. This is crazy. This is crazy. The challenge is to keep up, and you know, obviously we always want to do more. There's no sense in being in business if you're not aiming for the top, you know?
And I really like what you did last year with that stunt show and then opened it up for other companies to, you know, sponsor and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I feel like that was a really good success and a pretty big hit, and a lot of people are excited for it.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny because, you know, I got a little backlash from some people. Oh, $15 to get in. What they don't understand is, you know, the cost, you know, to put on things like that.
Oh, absolutely.
I already got, as a matter of fact, coincidentally, I got notification about 2 weeks ago from one of my insurance companies that's dropping me because of that event. You know, so this is a challenge. So I've got to find special event insurance, and that's going to be thousands of dollars just for a one-day event. So that's why, you know, I need to make money or I can't do it, you know. And it's not me. It's not going on my – it's paying for all the incidentals. The folks that provided me with the concrete barriers, they gave me a deal, and that was $6,000.
Right.
The other two estimates for those were 11 grand. 11 grand.
Was that...
That's a lot of Bud Light.
Was that Pepin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They were good to me. Yeah. And I appreciate that. And I'm hoping I can call on him and count on him for this, the next event too, because I'm going to do it.
Get a hold of Luke. He'll help you out.
Well, I tell you, they took care of me last year. So
yeah,
I got to give him a shout. But yeah, no, that it was a great event. It was a lot of fun. And that's what that's it. It's about having a good time. It's a different way to have a good time.
No, it's awesome. And I feel like it drew good crowds.
Yeah. Yeah, I would call it a success because, I mean, that's why I'm doing it again. If it was a flop, I'd be apprehensive because, like I said, it costs a lot of money to put that show on.
I mean, I could watch Alex here in the skid steer all day.
So. Oh, my God. That was the best part of the show. He's a good man, I'll tell you. He's another one of my customers. I just love my customers. They're my friends. They're good people, and we all enjoy the same stuff, and that was pretty creative. Yeah. I mean, I think that was a friggin' sensation out there on the internet, you know?
Yeah.
That got a lot of views.
It did, too.
That was pretty impressive.
I grew up with Alex. I've known him forever.
Top shelf.
Yeah,
good cat. Good cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this year, I mean, obviously every year you probably try to top the year before. I mean, is there any big plans, anything that you could let us know on what's going to be going on?
Big plans? Well, I mean... I don't want to say it's going to be the same. You know, I'm always looking for different bands. I get all kinds of people that want to play at the Saloon. And I really like to hear bands before I put them on stage, because if I get a bad band, boy, don't the customers come at me, you know?
I bet.
I mean, you know, it's like really, Greg? It's like, Jesus, the video sounded good, you know? So.
Oh, now you're starting to get some bands that are starting to get a lot bigger. You got 12 OC and like those guys.
Yeah, I didn't get them this year, and I don't think they played for me last year. They were so busy. But they're in a transition right now, you know, and if they're going to go anywhere, they need to get out of Dodge, and that's what they're doing. And they're going to have to go back to playing for $200 to people that never heard them before, you know, if they're going to get known beyond New England,
right?
You know. I see that, you know, you got to take a chance, you know. So it's like, if you're not going to be the best, you might as well get out of it,
right?
You know, so it's sometimes, you know, two steps, you know, one step up and two steps back, you know, and that's where they're at. And I wish them a lot of luck. They when they were playing, damn, they rocked the house for sure. You know?
I wasn't there, but I saw a lot of videos and a lot of people seemed to really like it. The Ozzy Osbourne guy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Vinny Cormier. Him and his son, you know, their other band, Dakota, is opening. They're playing early in the season, and then the Ozzy tribute is coming back. Those guys are fantastic. And, you know, it's funny. He cold called me, and they're from Bangor. They're playing all over the country now. I am so happy for them guys. And if you know them, they're just the greatest cats. Some more people I meet in the industry, they're just wonderful. And I love to see everybody I know, I want them to be successful, you know, because I always tell people, if everybody around me is successful, I'm at the bottom of the hill and shit rolls downhill and I'll catch it all, you know, I'll take it, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
I tell you, if you have not seen that show, you got to see it, whether it's at the Saloon or somewhere else. I'm telling you, swear you're at an Ozzy show. Best tribute I've ever seen.
Yeah, there was a ton of videos. Like I said, that one went pretty viral too. Cause, I mean, it was being shared everywhere, and
yeah,
I watched every clip that I saw of it, and I was like, "Wow, that guy is good."
I'm pretty sure that show was that's during Bike Week. I think it's a Friday or a Saturday night. I know I got Creed Fisher. He's on June 7th. I don't know if you're into the country music scene, but Creed's
my wife could tell you. I listen to it if it's in the car. That's about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. See, I listen to a lot of different stuff.
But, yeah, I'm the same way.
You know, I'm open.
Do you notice? I mean, how big of a influx of people do you get like during Bike Week alone?
Well, during Bike Week, I'm open all day long for a reason, because there's a lot of people out riding. Right. At night, it's just another night People generally, you know, believe it or not, you know, to get from Iron Tail Saloon back to the Weirs, talking at least an hour and a half.
Right.
That's a long drive. You don't, you know, and at night, you want to be where the party is. The party's at the Weirs. Right. I can't compete with that. I mean, if I wasn't working, I'd be there too, you know? Yeah. It's a lot, the broken spoke.
Yeah.
Well, it's high octane now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I visited that place for the first time since they took it over. Good people, and they're doing a great job. I'm excited for them too. I can't remember the daughter. She is a sweetheart, though. She seems to be the GM over there, and she does a good job. Very, very friendly, and I think they'll continue to do well.
Yeah, I always wondered if you just noticed giant increase in,
It's a good week for me. I'm open all day, every day. You know, T-shirt sales obviously are a big part of my business, and that bike week helps out, you know. And also, the good part about bike week is I'm reaching people from all over the country.
Right.
And I like to see them all at least leave one of my bumper stickers. You know, it's like, hey, you know, here you go. Whatever you do, don't put it in your top drawer. I don't care where you, just stick it up somewhere, you know, get it out there. You know, I just want to spread the word, you know, get the brand out. You know, it feels pretty good. You know, when I haven't been to Bike Week because of, you know, personal reasons, I haven't been able to get down there, but I'm going to go this March. But it's really great to see people wearing my T-shirts when I'm over in Daytona. You know, and I see it, and I got to be honest with you, I light up like a Christmas tree, and I'll go up to these folks, and I shit you not, I was like, hey, how you doing? What are you guys drinking? I buy them drinks. Thanks. And it's like, I appreciate you wearing my shirt. And you know, and then the kind of the friendship and the conversations,
right.
And then I see him the following season at the saloon. That's food for the soul, man. It just feels
that's awesome.
Good. Yeah, it feels good.
Definitely. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully the weather this year. I mean, I'm tired of living in a rainforest.
Yeah,
It's been, yeah, I mean, that, like you said, to pull out on top and, like, have a good year, I mean, that says a lot about your place and about why people want to go there.
Yeah.
It's because...
And, like, I get great local,
you know,
support.
Because a lot of people weren't there on Harleys, you know?
Yeah.
They're just...
Yeah, no, that's what I say. I get great local support. And I'm really excited about the amount of young people. Not that I don't love my older customers, but, you know, if you're an older customer like me... Probably want to be home, you know. I'm home at night if I'm not working, you know. But the young people, it's great. It feels good to get them in there and give them what they want. They're important because they're my future. They're definitely my future,
yeah.
And they're a focus of mine. I want to make sure that they have what they need, you know. What are they drinking? What are they like? What are the trends?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, all I know is when your place is open. My Snapchat when I wake up in the morning is usually just blown up with 10 or 15 different people that are there.
That's awesome. That feels good to me. You know,
yeah.
I don't Snapchat. I don't know shit about that. But, you know.
Well, if I was to say anything, you should probably get one.
Yeah.
Do you do all your social media and all that stuff all yourself?
I've got a girl over in Rochester that does all my graphics, Kayla. She does all my artwork. She's fantastic. My ads are mint. Thanks to her, because if I had to put together a flyer, it would take me 2 days sitting on the computer and it would come out looking like shit. You know, I can send her something and I have it back in 10 minutes and it's like, "Oh my God, this is amazing." You know?
Yeah.
And then my daughter Brianna, she handles putting it out. You know, she schedules and all that. And
yep.
She used to work for me behind the bar, but now, you know, she's working at a bank here in Sanford, and she kind of does all the behind-the-scenes stuff. She does my scheduling and also the social media piece, which is really good because I don't know when the best time is to post this or post that. She posts it and get all kinds of hits. I post something. It's like, you know,
crickets.
Check for, yeah, yeah. So all that stuff's important. And, you know, I'm glad I got you. I'm glad I got people that are in the know.
Yeah.
You know, that definitely helped me. I wouldn't.
Well, I mean, the algorithms are definitely there. Like you obviously know, like your phones are listening and they know everything that's going on. They had to have picked up that me and you were chatting back and forth, because for the last week and a half, I've got nothing but the Iron Tails. You know,
really?
Get ready, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, my phone's been blowing
up
with it. So.
Wow.
But,
yeah, no, we've definitely been, pushing, you know, revving people up, you know.
No, people are excited. Back. People, yeah. You know, it's just.
I'm excited too. And, you know, it's, like I said, I'm pretty fortunate, you know, to love what you do. And like I said, you know, I put a lot into it, and it's worth it. It's worth it.
No, it shows. I mean, you've outlasted, besides, you know, how long the Apple place was there. I mean, you've outlasted about every business that's been in that place.
Yeah, well, I tell you, there were some hard years, but, you know, I had good support at home. You know, I get a fantastic wife who really, she busts ass. And, you know, during the bad years, you know, she put food on the table, you know.
Yeah.
And it's, we're in a good place now. I mean, you know, the business is in a good place. And I hope it continues. And for it to continue, I got to keep doing. I got to keep, you know, making changes, tweaking it here, tweaking it there, and listening to what people want, you know, paying attention.
So to somebody listening to this that's never been to Iron Tails, where do they find you? Where are you at?
Oh, you're going to have to ask for me. I could be in the kitchen. I could be in the gift shop.
No, I'm saying, where's Iron Tails at?
Oh, I'm sorry. Literally, the physical... well, if you haven't been to Acton, you just get on 109. 109 starts way down in Wells in my hometown. And what's it about, I don't know, about 20 miles up. Go past the foot of Melsom Lake, right across in the fairgrounds, 559 Route 109 in Acton, Maine.
Yep.
And if you haven't been there, please give us a shot. You know, you're going to have a great time. You know, I guarantee you'll have a good time.
No, I can vouch for that. I've had plenty of very, very interesting nights there.
Yeah. So. Well, and, you know, all good people, you know. Mm-hmm. And if an asshole appears, they don't stay around long because, you know, everybody shows them the door.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can come out, have a good time, and be safe.
So check out the 207 Collective on Instagram. Check out Iron Tails. They're on all social media that I've seen, Instagram and Facebook. And check them out. Check out Iron Tails yourself. If you're a bike enthusiast, even if you're not, it doesn't matter. You can just go there and chill, hang out. It's always a good time. I mean, it's a good people watching, and it's just
it's entertainment. It's entertainment, you know, sure. And entertainment that goes beyond the bands, you know, just people are entertaining, you know?
Yeah.
Come and be seen, you know, make some friends.
Doesn't matter how you get there, just get there, right?
Absolutely. And I want to thank you for having me. I really appreciate this.
No, I appreciate you coming in. This is pretty much it's everything that I expected it was going to be. And,
fantastic.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And Greg, I appreciate it. Hopefully for a great season, safe season.
Amen. Well, we'll pray for good things, you know.
Yeah, and I appreciate you. I'm Justin. This is 207 Collective. Thanks for listening. Bye.